The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, Jeff Cooner is the host of the Cooner Report on WRKO AM 680 radio in Boston, Massachusetts. Liberalism's worst nightmare, a conservative nationalist who champions God, country and family. Jeff, always good to talk to you. What a week to catch up. Let's start with these January 6th protesters, rioters, hostages, whatever people want to call them. They can use whatever phrase they want. I don't care. Are you surprised Donald Trump pardoned all of them?
No. To be frank, Kieran, he pretty much campaigned that he would be pardoning, if not all of them, most of them. And he, you know, was a campaign pledge, and he fulfilled it. I think what has surprised some in the media is they didn't think he would go for all 1,500. He did say for some he'd go on a case-by-case basis. And there's about 14 of them who assaulted police officers, who used pepper spray. One used a stun gun on the back of a police officer. They didn't get pardons. They got a commutation. And then Trump will see whether there'll be a full unconditional pardon. But Kieran, the point I really want to stress is this. I think had the pardons happened in a vacuum, I think there would have been more outrage among the American people. What has really clouded the decision by Trump to pardon the J6ers was Biden's 11th hour, really practically last minute pardon of his entire family. His brother James, his brother Francis, his sister Valerie, their spouses, on top of Hunter Biden. And the reason why he pardoned them, and this is what shocked people, it was essentially an admission of guilt. It was an admission of guilt that the family was running an illicit influence peddling scheme in which millions of dollars from foreign sources, Ukraine, China, Romania, went into the shadow accounts that James, Jim, he goes by Jim, Frankie, Valerie, then got their hands on and then distributed among family members, with the infamous email 10% for the big guy. When he did that pardon, it so shocked and outraged the conscience of the United States that I think, to be honest, the January 6th pardons almost became like a counterclimax, anticlimactic. And so what happened was with the Biden pardons, it kind of negated the Trump pardons. And so that's where we are.
So despite that, I mean, you know, we've got Republican senators today expressing a bit of disquiet about the pardons, that they were expansive maybe as they've turned out to be. And I know some police unions had maybe hoped that some people would be completely ignored when it came to the pardons, those police unions who had supported Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. So, you know, it just is interesting, a little bit of fracturing, you know, already a huge amount of talk all week about, you know, he's got everyone behind him and he can do what he wants, but it might not turn out to be that way.
No, he can't. This is why I kept saying over and over again, this idea that Trump's going to govern as a dictator or as an authoritarian strongman, the American system of government has so many checks and balances. And you're right. He's been criticized by some police chiefs. Look, Trump is Mr. Law and Order. Trump is I back the blue. And so many police chiefs are saying, fine, we understand there were many violent, you know, nonviolent offenders, some of whom were just on the steps of the Capitol. They didn't even breach the Capitol. We understand you're going to give them a pardon. They don't deserve 3, 4, 5, 6 years in jail. That's excessive. But when we're talking about pepper spraying police, using stun guns on police, assaulting police, they were very disappointed in Trump. You know, so I think, look, had Joe Biden not done, and that's the other thing about Biden. It wasn't just that he pardoned his family. I'm leaving a very important chunk of it out. He also issued about 8,000 pardons on his way out the door. One of them, just to give you an example, was for a very prominent indigenous rights activist. His name is Leonard Peltier, who in 1975, as part of this militant Native American Indian rights movement, organized and led an ambush in South Dakota on an Indian reservation of two FBI agents, where they were literally shot in the head. Both of them killed stone cold, point blank range. Biden issued a commutation of Leonard Peltier on his way out the door. So here is a man directly responsible. We're not talking pepper spray or punching a police officer in the face or using a stun gun, but literally shooting two FBI agents in the back of the head. And he walks away. He's going to be spending the rest of his days at his home. So it took so much of the teeth, the sting out of Trump when he issued his pardons. And this has always been, I've said this about Joe Biden. He is the gift for Trump that keeps on giving. And this may be his final gift.
So how then do you assess, Jeff, kind of, you know, week one, I guess, has become dominated by the pardons, but he was speaking at Davos today, or speaking to people at Davos today, and, you know, talking up a big game in terms of tariffs again. There maybe have been an expectation, though, that something on trade or tariffs might be included in this slew of executive orders, but they weren't.
No, because he's using them as a negotiating tool.
And so this is like the Greenland thing you and I talked about last week.
Yeah,
you know, no talk up a big game and get a better deal.
Yeah. That's right. He wants a better deal. Look, he's been complaining for years about the European Union. It's no secret. He thinks the EU has been unfair to the United States, that they don't buy our cars and our billions of dollars worth of farm products, but they sell millions of their cars to us and obviously a lot of their agricultural goods. So he wants the EU to lower some of their tariffs to buy more of our goods and our products. The other thing that he was laying out very clearly today, and to me, this is what I was very happy to see, and I kept saying this for weeks before the election. I said, watch, Trump is going to put the screws into Vladimir Putin. He's not going to lay down like people think. He explicitly said to the Saudis, I want you now to drop the price of oil. OPEC, the only thing keeping the Putin regime alive is their revenue from oil and natural gas. And I want you to drill, increase your oil output. I want oil at 40, 45 bucks a barrel. Putin then cannot sustain his war. And he openly said it at Davos today. And he went on Truth Social a day before telling Putin, now is the time for a deal. And if you don't do a deal, as he put it, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. And I will put punishing sanctions and tariffs and taxes. You will not be able to sell anything to the Europeans, to us, on the world market. And we are going to drive oil down to such a low price that your economy will collapse. Mm. So he is now putting tremendous tremendous pressure on Putin to settle the war.
Well, that's now, it. That's if the Saudis and OPEC do what he says. I mean, Donald Trump did say in the campaign he'd end the war in 24 hours.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's Trump. He exaggerates for effect, but he wants to end the war. He wants to end the war quickly. The Saudis want to deal with Israel. The Saudis want to join the Abraham Accords. They know that. They also want the United States to start protecting Saudi Arabia even more. And so Trump is basically telling them, if you want the Abraham Accords, if you wanted me to contain Iran, which is what they desperately want, you got to play ball with me on Russia. And so ironically, the war in Ukraine may not be settled in Moscow or in Kyiv. It may be settled in Riyadh.
Jeff Kuhner, host of the Kuhner Report on WKR AM 680 Radio, Boston, Massachusetts. Jeff, will talk to you at roughly the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.